everything that we need, all the stuff that we need to cling to, and the answers. And here in Proverbs chapter number 4, of course, the theme today is Father's Day. And we all look for those messages. And there is mother's messages, father's messages, there's children's messages in this Bible. In this Bible, you'll find the best way to raise your children, the best way to be a mother and a wife, the best way to be a husband and a dad, and the best way to be a friend. You'll find this in the Scriptures. And as we've said here recently, all Scriptures should be familiar Scripture. I've heard people say, "Preacher, what happens if that Bible's not true? If this Bible's not true, then I've lived a lie." But I'll say this, it's still the best life that I've ever lived. I lived on two sides of the tracks. Brother Roger, me and you talk about this from time to time. This life is the best of those two lives. And I thank God that He saved my soul and made me a child. But I want to read this. You pray for me. I forgot my spectacles at the house, so I'll do my very level-headed bit. Yeah, brother, let me use yours. You got them. Eddie's about twice as blind as I am, so if the paper catches on fire, it's because the light started reflecting on. Lord of mercy. Y'all got Proverbs? I hope I don't bend out his frame. My head's a whole lot bigger than Eddie's, too. I got a big old fat head. Proverbs chapter number 4. You got it? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm going to read down to verse number 9. We ask you to stand to the reading, at the reverencing of the reading of God's Word. We're reverencing God's Word. We're not reverencing me. We're reverencing the Word of the Lord. Here's what it says. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor. When thou doest embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you. Father, we thank you once again for the morning. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your word. Thank you for saving our soul. My Lord, we have a congregation here, Lord Father, on this day that we recognize the fathers of our land. Lord Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us today to preach the word. Lord, that you, me being your helper, Lord, would you preach through me and anoint me with that fresh oil. Lord God, you would use me, Lord, just one more time, Lord, to speak to hearts, Lord. I'm not trying to speak to minds nor to speak to flesh, but Lord, let's help us, Lord, to speak to the heart. You make the pathway to the heart. And this word, this trumpet that I am, will sound the alarm, Lord God, if you'll have it. But God, we pray, Lord Father, we need that unction from up on high. Lord, help us clear our mind and thoughts of carnal things. Lord, help us not go off in our own selves, but Lord Father, that we just stay in the confines of thy word, in the midst of thy spirit, in the center of thy will. Lord, would you please use this one more time? And above all things, Lord, glory, honor, and praise be given to your high and holy name. Now, Lord, also to be amiss, Lord, not to pray this, that if there be one here today on this day in the month of June, Lord Father, on Sunday, where they say it's supposed to get real hot outside, but Lord Father, I pray it get real hot in here spiritually in the hearts of them that's not saved. Lord, that conviction would grip their heart. Not conviction to kill them, but Lord Father, conviction that would draw them unto life and that life everlasting. Lord Father, they would see and hear and know, Lord Father, and respond when you deal with their heart. And Lord Father, will never cease to give you the praise. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading and praying with us. We want to preach today upon this theme about Father's Day. Here in this scripture here, we're finding Proverbs chapter number 4. The book of Proverbs is a book that most of us love, a lot of us love. Yeah. The things that are in the book of Proverbs, and here the writer, which is Solomon, is writing unto his men, writing unto his son, writing unto his children. He's reminding them that how he once was a son once, and how his dad David tried to teach him. Can I say this? We all would have to agree that every father in here has made mistakes throughout life. We've all slipped and messed up. We have not been on top of our game. We have made mistakes in raising children and training children. But I'm glad with the Bible in our life, we can make those wrongs right. Those wrongs can be corrected. Those things can be shown and instructed. But oh, the importance that he's talking about here to his sons. And may I say the importance of the preacher preaching today and the Lord and the Lord speaking into our heart, knowing that how that the Lord wants the fathers and wants these things to be taught. May I say this? The father in the home is a very important role and a responsible role that is in the Bible. May I say this? Us as dads, those that are here that are dads, we give an account for these children on how we're supposed to raise them and how we're supposed to train them. We give an account on how we are when it comes to our wives. Am I hearing the preacher? I know it's not popular sometimes to preach along these lines, but I believe this, Brother Larry, I believe it to be biblically true. And can I say this? I'm not going to say this to be a kind of contradicted what I'm saying. I'm believing it to be what is real, realistic in this world and realistic to this Bible. Dads, can I say something? You can try and try and try with all your heart, and sometimes we do come short. But if we cannot make them saved by the way that we raise them, we can give them confidence. We can show them the direction. We can point them to the cross of Calvary. But friend, but dad, when they get to a certain age, they got to start answering for themselves. Y'all hearing the preacher? I thought about this at time and time again, how we live in a nation today and how we live in a world today where the children want to blame the parents for the way things are. Can I say this? I know some people and know some children who've had some bad things happen to them when they was kids. But can I say something? God has helped them throughout life, and God will still be there. I tell you this, the Bible says, the psalmist said, if thy mother and thy mother and thy father forsake thee, he said, the Lord will take you up. Can I say this? You won't be without a father. You won't be without a father who treats you right and treats you good. You say, preacher, my daddy treated me bad, and he may have. But can I say this? The Lord has never given you nothing bad. The Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above, and the Father of lights, whom is no shadowing nor turning. I thank God today, though that man might be imperfect, we have a Father in heaven who's perfect, and he loves us with a perfect love. He's talking in these scriptures here. Before we go any further, may I say this? He's talking, as he says, as he was taught also. He said, I was taught on these things. He said, let thy heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. We came across the scripture in Deuteronomy back on Mother's Day, how we're supposed to rear our children, raise our children, and train our children. Speak about the things in the home that God has done in our life and the things that God done in the past and things that God will do in the future. We're supposed to speak of those things in our life. It says we are to keep it as frontlets before our eyes. We're supposed to bind them upon our hand. We're supposed to put them on the doorpost of our life. Can I say this? Why do you put them on the frontlets of your eyes? I'm not talking about walking around with a headband, though they did back in those days, with the phylacteries and things on their arms and their head. But we keep that word of God. We keep the commandments of God close to our heart. And I'm going to get to the commandment here in a minute. We keep it close to our eyes, the frontlet of our eyes, so we can see things right. Y'all hearing the preacher? Oftentimes we see things carnal, and oftentimes we see things with a carnal eye, and I'm guilty of it too. But I bless God and thank him today that he's given us his word and his spirit, where if we keep it in the forefront of our mind and are focused upon him, we'll see things right. He says, bind it upon your hand. Why? That way you might be doing the things that are right. Well, all times the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. But God said, my ways are high above man's ways, and my thoughts are high above man's thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above man's ways. And friend, I'm telling you, when you apply God's ways into your life, not only will you see things right, but you'll do things right. Can I say this? When we put the things and write them on the doorpost, I know some people will take it literally and hang up scriptures in their home, and I think it's good if you like to do that. But what he's really trying to get the children of Israel to do, and what this preacher wants you to do, is to write them on the doorposts of your heart. That means the foundation of your life. Put them up in your heart. The Bible says we take this pledge at Vacation Bible School, that that word I'll hide in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Friend, it's not just a pledge. It's the word of God. And God says, if you put these things in your life, ye shall live. He says, talk about them in the house. Talk about them with your wife. Talk about them with your kids. Talk about them with your neighbor. Why? Because these are the things that tend unto life. He's talking to his son about wisdom. He's talking to his son about knowledge and understanding. He says, get wisdom in verse number 5. Get understanding and forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. He's saying, listen and listen close. You've heard this preacher say this numerous of times, and maybe some of you may get tired of me of saying this, but we have no problem with the Lord speaking, but we have a big problem with us of listening to what God has to say. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. I remember Brother James giving that message and telling me the message that his dad used to tell him. He said, "You're slipping, you're slipping." And friend, can I say this? If we find ourselves slipping in the ways of the Lord, it's not because God's not speaking. It's because we have not given the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And friend, I would counsel you today to listen to this preacher and listen to it very, very closely. He's telling his own son, and I'm trying to tell you, get wisdom and get understanding and forsake it not. In verse number 6, it says, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing, and therefore get wisdom. And if all thy getting, get understanding. Friend, can I say this? It's just one thing to carry this Bible, and I think it's good you ought to carry a Bible. I think you ought to carry a King James Bible. I think it's good that you read the Bible, and I think you ought to read the King James Bible. I still believe it's the Bible that God has set aside for the English-speaking people. I know folks may not be a fan of that, and folks may not like that, but I still believe in the King James Bible. And he says it gets you understanding. It's one thing to read it. It's one thing to tote it around. But friend, you got to ask God to give you the understanding. And when the problems of life come about, it'll show you the things that you ought to do. And there's where you get your wisdom. So with all thy wisdom and getting, get understanding. Apply it to your life and you'll never come short. You said, "Preacher, I thought this was a Father's Day message." It is. Can I say this? These are all the things that a father should be teaching his children. These are the things that the father ought to be teaching his sons and teaching unto his daughters. May I say this, the life lessons in life, the things that we go through, the experiences that we take, we have in life, we ought to teach them to our kids, show them to our kids, not just tell them about them, but show them about them. The Bible says, "Train a child up in the way it should go, that when it grow old, it shall not depart from them." But can I say, just telling them to do what's right is one thing, but showing them to do right is what'll stick in their life and stick in their craw. When they see daddy a praying, when they see daddy a reading his Bible, when they see daddy a singing and hearing him doing those things and meaning it from his heart, when they see daddy treating mommy right and loving on mommy, am I hearing the preacher? When they see daddy acting right in the household, acting right amongst his brothers and his sisters in the church house, acting right amongst the people out in the world, can I say this? I'll say this, a lot of things can be said from the mouth of somebody. A lot of folks will listen, but actions speak louder than words. Am I hearing the preacher? And a lot of times the things that we say and do are opposite of how we act. And can I say this? The Bible will tell us that we ought to, the things that we do and how we act come from the abundance of our heart. And can I say this today? We need to ask God to help us with our heart as dads and as fathers in this land. I've seen many of men not realize this. I'm going to get to the message for a second if you'll have it. Some folks might say, "Preacher, now you're meddling." Well, I'm going to meddle this because the Lord of God, the Lord's given me the authority to say so. Can I say this as a husband, as a dad? Does it mean that you'll rule your house as a dictator, as an iron fist? Y'all hearing the preacher? Don't get me wrong. My house is not a democracy for the James. I got enough kids that can outvote me. There's no voting going on in the Faulkner household. It's a dictatorship. It solely rests upon the responsibility of dad's shoulders. I know some people may not like this, but Brother Tony, I look at it and see this. If my kids come up short, I'm asking God, where did I come up short and train my kids the right way? If my wife comes up short, I'm asking God, where did I come short in instructing and guiding my wife? You say, "Preacher, I think you just look too much into it." You know what's wrong with our country today? We don't look enough into it. This country once proudly would say and stand that we stand upon the word of God, a nation founded and put upon by the laws given by the word of God, used for instruction. Benjamin Franklin said this Bible is good for any society to be ruled by. You don't have to be a believer in the word of God just to know that it's just right in society to raise your kids right, to love your wife, to love your kids. Y'all hearing the preaching? Y'all be amen a whole lot better than what I'm preaching right now. Somebody say amen. But I'm preaching a whole lot better than their amen. I said it backwards, Brother Josh. But I'll say this, but I do know that when a happy home exists, everybody would always say a happy wife means a happy life, and I understand that saying. But friend, if a husband and a dad don't rule his house well, there's nothing good in the house going on. Amen. Oftentimes people don't realize this. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wife as Christ did the church and gave himself for it." Somebody say amen right there. You women should be about ready to grab a hold of a chandelier and swing back and forth and say amen, preach it, preacher. But we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Somebody say amen. You say, "Preacher, do you let your wife walk all over you?" No, I do not. But there's also a way I've got to deal with my wife and deal with her in the way that she needs to be dealt with. But friend, she's just as much of an individual as I am. I've seen men, these men try to rule their wives like they've got a choker chain on like some dog on a leash. And they say, "She does what I said and does what she does." Can I say something, husband? Can I say something, daddy? You got to go to sleep sometime, and you better hope she ain't a vindictive mama and a vindictive wife. I've heard of them, Brother James, and they will do something. But can I say this? God frowns upon that man that treats his wife like she's some kind of object. She should be treated like the church. Right? She should be treated like the church. And may I say this? Won't you tend to your own wife instead until you attended to somebody else's wife? Stay out of other people's business. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Stay out of other people's home business. Can I say this? There's too many people trying to button other people's businesses, trying to tell them how they ought to do things and run things. Can I say something? God's done a pretty good job dealing with individuals and dealing with his church. I got people, Brother Eddie, I've talked to Brother Eddie, Brother James, and Brother Josh about this. I mean, before I became a pastor, after people gave me too many pieces of advice, but I got people, Brother James, I've even showed you, I got people who don't even want to come to church will try to tell me how to pastor this church. Somebody may not understand what I'm saying, but there's more people trying to tell me what to do. They have no idea what I'm supposed to do, and they have no clue because God didn't give them the connection. But can I say this? It does not delegate me to go do something else. I'm still supposed to love my wife as Lord loves the church, and I'm still supposed to love you. I tell you what, Daddy, I tell you what, husband, I tell you what, instead of being such an iron, I don't know why I'm preaching this way. This wasn't even part of the messages. Can I say this? Love goes a whole lot farther than vinegar does. Amen. I've been trying to eat right, trying to be healthy, Brother Tony, and I've been doing the apple cider vinegar things, and it always comes back to something like this, I don't know why. And I don't know if anybody ever does that apple cider vinegar thing. I'm not one to mix it with water and try to drink it, so I try to try one big giant tablespoon and the little medicine cup shooter down. Oh my gosh, it gives you the heebie-jeebies, makes you do a dance that you don't want to dance. Makes you get all ugly looking in your face and everything. But can I say something? There's things that we ought to do that we're supposed to do. And sometimes it may not seem right to our flesh, but it is right by the word of God. And I tell you what, sometimes doing nothing but vinegar will cause them family members and cause that wife and cause them children to act funny, do a dance, got an ugly look on their face. And you might think it's their problem, but realistically what it is you're nothing but a big old shot of apple cider vinegar. Somebody say amen right there. And honey goes a whole lot farther. But can I say something? You still got to be the man of your house. Yep. Y'all hearing the preacher?
Right.
I want to give this. I specialize in supposed to be in the man of the house because I'm supposed to be one too. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 7. Here's the message. It says, the just man walketh in his integrity. A just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. When daddy walks right, when daddy talks right, the children are blessed. I've admitted I've failed at my best at times at being a dad. I'd like to beat my chest and say, Tony, I've done everything right by my children, but I haven't. I failed. But I don't know if Connie's brother overheard me or not. Connie's brother was talking to my kids, and they told him, they said, boy, you're being raised right. They's on the roof. He didn't know they had to be on that roof. They's going to be on that roof with a whip and or without a whip. But they's on a roof whether or not. But they saw that my kids had a work ethic. I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about what my daddy instilled in me. Solomon said, my daddy taught me. I got to pass it on down to my children. He said, when a man walks just, walks in his integrity, the Bible says his children are blessed. Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, it doesn't test on this with the vinegar comment. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I've seen a lot of broke kids that ought not to be broke. Why? Because daddies have went too far. Changed them. Somebody right now might be thinking, there's some other dads that should be here listening to this message, and you're absolutely right. Text them, tell them to be on the website. They can listen to it at home. We ought not to beat our kids. The Bible says we're to discipline our kids. You don't beat them plumb to death, but you do have to discipline your kids. Everybody hearing the preacher?
Amen.
Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Can I say this? We're in the world today, and people says, my children just won't, my kids, preacher, don't listen to me. Even though I try to establish this, they, you know why your kids don't listen to you? You need to grow a backbone. Backbone in the word of the Lord. Stand up to them. Tell them you're the man of the house. You're the husband. You're the one supposed to take part in the role you're supposed to be for. You're going to give an account for it anyway. Stand up to them. Tell them what's right. Tell them what's not right. The Bible says if you spare the rod, that means if you spare your children of discipline, you're not loving them by letting them do what they want. You're hating them.
Amen.
You're hating them. Got real quiet all of a sudden, didn't it? You're supposed to tell your kids what's right and what's wrong. When your kids do wrong, you're supposed to let them know about it. And you're supposed to let them know again if they don't listen. And if you need to whoop them, you need to whoop them. I think you need to whoop a kid sometimes just to stay in practice. You said, preacher, you wouldn't talk too high and mighty if they come investigated you. I've had them come investigate me, Brother James. I've had them sit in my own living room. They said, Mr. Faulkner, do you discipline your children? I said, yes, I do. They said, how do you discipline your children? I said, I tell them that what they done wrong the first time. They said, well, if you don't listen, I said, I get real loud. And the neighbors hear me get disciplined and wise, hollering at them. I do holler. The Faulkner house is not quiet. I hollered at one of my kids yesterday, and James had to get an earful of it. Only I hollered in his ear, not on purpose, but he had to get an earful of it. Well, and that person said, Mr. Faulkner, what happens if they don't listen then? I said, I whoop them. They just looked at me. Candy was scared. Can I say, you know what's wrong with this country? We have lost the respect and the fear of authority in this country.
Amen.
And it started in the home, and it started with God. The people don't fear God no more, and they don't fear God, so they don't fear the police, they don't fear the principal, they don't fear the teacher, they don't fear mom, they don't fear dad. Why? Because it's not taught, it's not pushed in the home. Can I say this? You spare the rod, you hate your child. The Bible says in the rest of that verse, but he that loveth him chasteth him B times. That means when he's out of line, you whoop him then. You get a hold of him then, him and her. You chastise him quickly. You don't put it off. You let them know what they've done wrong, and get a hold of them right then. The Bible says in Proverbs 75, if you'd like to flip to me, Psalm chapter 75. Psalm chapter 75 is where I'm going to go to. Psalm 75. I'm going to read this. Psalm 75. And this is what it said. Psalm 75 verses 5 through 8. Says this, it says, lift not up your horn unto high, speak on the stiff neck. I got the wrong scripture right there. I got Psalm 78, not Psalm 75, Psalm 78. We will not chide with them from their children, shewing them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. He that commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children, that the generation come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. This is the psalmist reflecting about what happened in the children of Israel. Back when the children of Israel had the opportunity to cross over Jordan and go into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, but they rebelled against the word of God and the men of God. They rebelled against the promises of God. They rebelled against the two men of God, Joshua and Caleb, and said, we can have them, and they decided to rebel against the Lord. But the Lord was telling them that we need to train up our children, show them how the things that God has done. We need to remind them that God is still God, and besides him, there is no other. We need to make an example in our lives that God is still true. And as God dealt with those stubborn, stiff people of the past generation, that God would still deal the same way today. But friend, we can get past all those hard times and trouble if we show and realize that our children, that God is for us, and who could be against us. Proverbs 13:22. The Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. As we talked about the things of treating our kids and raising up our kids, not only will it impact your children's lives if you raise them right, but it will impact your children's children's lives. I've heard many people testify of their grandparents making a way in their life. And can I say, it's something that should be left behind in the hearts of individuals. In the days that we're living in today, we got great grandparents bringing their children to church. And I say, praise God, thank God for it. And can I say this, it's something that ought to be passed down to the children. The ways of God is that it is the right ways. But can I say this, in all these things that we do, there is a poor example that goes with Scripture. There's a poor example that happens when you don't pass down the things that ought to be passed down. There's a poor example in Scripture about what happens when you don't keep those kids and those children in check, and the life and the home being correct, and that with the Lord. We find the toppest of all places in the Bible, the high priest Eli. We find him in 1 Samuel chapter number 1 as he's the high priest over the tabernacle. And we find that when the people come in, we find that Hannah and her husband are in there, and Hannah is praying for a child. The Bible says Eli is the high priest, and Hannah is praying. We all heard the story about Hannah, how Hannah wanted a child and was barren and could not have one. So she began to pray and seek the face of the Lord. And the Bible says that Eli saw her praying. She was moving her mouth, but her voice was not coming out of her lips. And Eli thought she was drunken. She said, no, Lord, I'm not drunken, but I am pouring out my heart and my soul upon the Lord to have a man child. And Eli the priest, being the man of God, said, "Thy petition is heard." I mean, he had a connection with God. Y'all hearing the preacher? He wasn't always a bad preacher. He wasn't always doing things wrong. But there was something that was happening underneath that had not reared its ugly head yet, Brother Eddie. And you mark it down in Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sins find you out. You'll cover up sin for a while, but you will not prosper. Eventually, after a while, it gets preached from the rooftops. You'll reap what you sow. Friend, I'm telling you this by the authority of God's word. And a man who's experienced, don't cover it up. Don't hide it. If things ain't right in the home, come to God. Give it to God. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. And he will do just that. But Eli wouldn't do it. The Bible says that Eli, in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says that Eli did not keep his sons in correction, did not keep his sons in the way of the things that they ought to do. Eli did not call out his sons and call them out on their sins. He tried to cover up and let it go. But the Bible says that God saw what was going on and told Samuel that he would not rest, that he would take the priesthood from Eli and from his family. That priesthood was to be passed down from father unto son and from the son. From the father unto son, unto father unto son, unto father unto son, from one generation down to the next generation. But God said Eli's generation, Eli's family, he was going to be cut off and take from him. We all know the story about Eli. Since Eli would not take his kids into consideration, and Eli wouldn't be the father that he was supposed to be, he let his kids run rampant, let his kids run and do things that they ought not to do. And the Bible says he was committing lewd things and nasty things with the congregation of Israel. Things that ought not to be done. And when it come time for things to really matter, there was a battle that ensued. And the Bible says, I'll just paraphrase it, put it all in one little cliff note thing. The Bible says that Eli's sons tried to do something. They tried to do something that was right. But the Bible says that when they bring the Ark of the Covenant in to rage war against the Philistines to bring in the victory, the Bible says that since there was sin in the camp, that those men were killed and the Ark of the Covenant was taken. When Eli found out that his sons were killed, he fell back and his neck broke from the fall. And even when his own grandson was being born, his mother denied him and rejected him and said, "Call him Ichabod, for the glory hath departed from Israel." You said, "Preacher, it went kind of fast." I know it went kind of fast, but I want to simply say this. Daddy, if you don't think your sins will not follow your children, I want to say this, and I love my daddy with all my heart. I miss him every single day. I think about him a lot and think about him all the time. But there were things that my daddy did that was not right. And they not only stuck with me, I followed in his footsteps and done the things that ought not to be done. But can I say there was hope and there was a chance for everybody? God can still intervene. He intervened in my life and he can intervene in your life. Daddy, you may not be living right. And son, you may not be living right. And daughter, you may not be living right. It's a family thing and God can make things right in your life. Don't let it go all the way to the grave. Don't try to keep it covered up. But confess and forsake it and God will give you mercy. Bible says this, and I got two examples. Those are the bad examples. I want to give you two examples. The first one's the guy's name is Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. I try to think of this, and I was trying to think of all these the fancy men of the Bible, the fancy fathers. I thought about Abraham. I thought of all these good men in the Bible, you know, all these people that folks look at, you know, David or Jesse, all them. But God gave me Obed-Edom. You all may be thinking, man, that boy may not be blessed, and that name's just way too big. But Obed-Edom don't say too much, but it says a lot. Y'all hear the preacher? Y'all still with me? Say amen. I'm going to go through this. I feel like some of you, if I go through this, I might lose you in all the scriptures. But I'll put it this. David is king. King David, he's the one who wrote the Psalm, 23rd Psalm. The Ark of the Covenant, I just told you, Eli, because of his lackadaisical fatherhood and not reining his children in, caused the covenant to be took. King David is now king, the first God-chosen king of Israel. I said the first God-chosen king of Israel. You said, preacher, Saul, King Saul was the first king of Israel. He was chosen by the people. He wasn't chosen by God. God's chosen king, first king, was David. But David wanted the Ark of God back into Israel. David went and got it with a cart, done it all the wrong way, messed everything up, and caused the man to get killed because he didn't do things the way God said it to be done. David, though he was king and though he was a man after God's own heart, David wasn't perfect. David made mess ups. So what David did was he left it in the house of Obed-Edom. He said, here's what we're going to do, fellas. We ain't taking this not one step further. There's Obed-Edom's house, old brother Obed. We're going to put it in his house and let him deal with it. But word got back to King David, Sister Tracy. It said that Obed-Edom's house was blessed, fully blessed for 3 months because of that Ark of the Covenant was in his house. Now I want to stop right there and say something. Some folks might say, preacher, you're adding to Scripture. You ain't supposed to add to Scripture. Well, I'm not going to add to Scripture. If King David did things wrong and it got a man killed, what was Obed-Edom doing in his house for him to get blessed for three solid months? He was doing things right. Y'all hearing the preacher? He was living right in the house. Can I say this? We can try to live right in church, but it won't show up if we don't live right in the house. We can try to live right at work, but it won't show up unless we live right in the house. We might try to live right at school, but it won't show up unless we live right in the home. Can I say this? A Christian is not a person of how they act in the public and act in the world. A true Christian is somebody how they act right when they're in private and in the home. Can I say this? Your kids and your family and your wife and the people in your home know you better than anybody else. And I will say this. Sometimes people may not like for me to preach like this, but I believe to be true. The reason why Obed-Edom's house got blessed for 3 months, because Obed-Edom was being the dad that he was supposed to be. His wife was being the mama and the wife that she was supposed to be. And the children was being the children they were supposed to be. You said, preacher, you ain't got proof. I got all kinds of proof. You couldn't bear the proof. You choke on the proof, but we're going to give some proof right now. The Bible says for 3 months his house was blessed. But it didn't stop with Obed-Edom's house getting blessed for those 3 months. We find that also that Obed-Edom was blessed in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 18 and 24. Obed-Edom got promoted to be the doorkeeper of the tabernacle. Y'all hearing the preacher? Can I say this, being the doorkeeper is not like what Brother Lindsay and Brother John do. They sit in the sound room and hit the button and let them come in. But I'll say this, being the doorkeeper was you had to stand outside the place. When the winds blew and the rains came, the storm hit, you kept watch of the door. And David said, I'd rather be the doorkeeper of the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Hey, it was an honor to be the doorkeeper at the house of God. And in 1 Chronicles 15, 18, 24, Obed-Edom was the doorkeeper. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 21, he was appointed to be over the sound of the harp, the sound of the psaltery, and the sound of the cymbals. If you haven't, he was sort of like what the brother Paul Bernard was doing. He was had a part in the worship and that with music. I'm just glad to see that Obed-Edom wasn't just somebody who said to live right, but he was doing things right, and God blessed him openly. Not only was he over the things of the cymbals and of the psalteries and of the harp, but the Bible says it also says that he was over the doorkeeper of the Ark of the Covenant. He was there at the door keeping the door of the Ark of the Covenant. Friend, can I say this? When you worship God and live right privately, God's going to bless you openly. Some people may have got upset and says, why is King David always picking out Obed-Edom? Obed-Edom must be a kiss up to the pastor. Obed-Edom must be doing things. He must be greasing the wheels is what he's doing. Is why he's getting on his thing. No, God was a blessing him because he was living right in his home. You mark it down when it comes to God. God don't do things like man does things. I know at the workplace we got people who'll kiss up to the boss and get special favors. We got people who do things that way and do things in school. We used to call them teacher's pets. I never was the teacher's pet. But I found out if you live right in the home, Brother James Powell, you become one of God's pet kids. That means he can trust you with the big responsibilities. He that's just in the least is just in the much is responsible for much, and he that's just in the least is responsible for least. But I'm glad that when Obed-Edom was looked down upon by God, he saw Obed-Edom living right, talking right, training right, living right, loving his wife right, loving his kids right. And God blessed him right.
Amen.
Made him doorkeeper at the tabernacle and at the covenant. And said, I'm going to point you over the music too. But can I say something? It didn't stop with him. His sons was blessed too. They followed in daddy's footsteps. 1 Chronicles 26. I got to read this. I wasn't going to. But God says, read this. 1 Chronicles chapter number 26. 1 Chronicles chapter number 26. I got to read this. And you have to bear with me. This is not Blanchester Hebrew, so I can't read it too well. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 26, verses 4 through 8. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah, the firstborn, Jehozabad, the second, Joah, the third, and Sakar, the fourth, and Nethaneel, the fifth, and Malal, the sixth, Iskar, the seventh, Peuel, Thaya, the eighth, for God blessed him. And unto Shimei was his sons were sons born that ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. Notice that his sons were mighty men of valor. The sons of Shimei, Othni, and Raphael, and Obed, Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men, Elihu, and Semachiah. Those are Obed-Edom's grandsons. His children's children. Yeah. Y'all hearing the preacher? Y'all still with me? Say amen. I'll be over. If you listen quick, I'll get over quick. Verse number 8 says, all these the sons, Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength for the service, were 72 of Obed-Edom. We think right now, we think our life is this. And as I was talking with Tammy, we always look at what's best for us. It's a me generation. We always look at how do we benefit. Amen. Well, I want this spot, Brother James, because I want to do this. I want to do this because I want to do this. I think I want to do this. What's God want you to do? I know what God wants me to do, Sister Vicki. He wants me to be Jason Faulkner, husband of Tammy Faulkner, dad of all them other Faulkners, the pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church. Live right in the home. Talk right in the home. Treat my kids right in the home. Be an example. Do I fail? Yes. Do I want to? No. But what I love about Father's Day is we got a father who loves us. Obed-Edom tried it, did it right. You said, preacher, Obed-Edom, I don't know who Obed-Edom is. Well, get in your Bible. You can look at Abraham, you can look at all of them. It didn't talk about Obed-Edom's faults. You know why? Because we all got faults. And Obed-Edom didn't say, this is the things that happened in my home. Somebody else is writing about how good God blessed Obed-Edom. The church saw it. The world saw it. We're so worried about our status and our situation in society. But friend, we not think about how God sees us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation. You can like this, laugh at it, lump it. You can make fun of it. I don't care. It's still the truth. I think David, when he looked back and said, man, if I'd have followed, maybe I should have knocked on Obed-Edom's house before he even got the car. And everything would have been good and fine. Obed-Edom still got blessed. I believe it. Because he was living right. But can I say this? We have a Heavenly Father in heaven that loves us so much. And he gave us a pattern. I'm done with all my scriptures. I'll give you one more example. And we'll be ending that, okay? I said, if y'all listen fast, I'll preach fast. And then we'll get you the baptized. There was a man, the Bible says, you'll find him in Samuel, and you'll find him in Chronicles. His name was Ornan in Samuel, and his name starts with an A. I can't pronounce it. I don't know how to pronounce it in Chronicles. I mean, God help us. I wish it was like, you know, like Adam. You know, like Oliver and Adam, that'd been a whole lot easier. We got Ornan, what his name is. But David had committed a sin. King David committed a sin, and he numbered the children of Israel. And he was not supposed to number the children of Israel. He was told not to do it. He still did it. And there was the wrath of God coming upon the children of Israel because King David done wrong. I want to say this. If you don't think that your sins affect your family, they absolutely do. Your sin affects your family. It affects your friends. It should break our heart. So David's sitting there, and there was a man by the name of Ornan who had a threshing floor on top of a mountain called Moriah. A set of mountains that was set in those days, highly important set of mountains, if you'll listen real close, will tell you how important they are. On top of Mount Moriah, as Ornan was threshing the wheat, he looked up and saw the angel of the Lord stayed over his threshing floor with his sword put up in his sheath, because he had been told it was enough by the Lord to stop putting on the wrath upon the children of Israel. But Ornan's looking up, and he saw that angel of the Lord. I don't know about anybody about you, but I would have got scared plumb to death and said, this is the end. My encounter, nothing, you know, Nostradamus, nothing. You see the angel of the Lord appearing, friend, I don't know about you. I'm dropping to my knees thinking it's all over. Amen. That's what Ornan did. And him and his four sons hid. He hid his four sons. He loved his kids, and he hid them. I mean, they're up there threshing wheat. But the Bible says that that angel of the Lord had stayed his hand. And King David came to Ornan and said, Ornan, I need your threshing floor. I need to offer up a sacrifice unto God that he would be pleased and all this will stop. And Ornan says, if you need to offer a sacrifice, he says, I give you the oxen. I give you the wood. I give you the instruments. He says, I give it all. Right. Ornan was willing to give up everything, not only for the king to do what the king had to do, but Ornan was giving up everything so that his four sons would have a shot still alive. May I say this, we always look about the best job, what's best for our children. I think it's good. The best education for our children, I think that's good too. I think all those things are good and they have a place. But friend, what's wrong with our country? What's wrong with our society? What's wrong with our world? Is that people have forgotten what God wants for our children.
Amen.
A life is not a life unless you have that life in the Lord.
Amen.
And old man says, I give it all. Whatever it would take to give my baby's life, I give it all.
Amen.
And David said, I can't get it for free. I got to pay you for it. Isn't that something? Not only was Ornan willing to give it all up for his kids, the king says, I'm still going to pay you for it because it's got to cost me something.
Right.
And the Bible says that Ornan sold the threshing floor of Madison to King David. And King David offered up the sacrifice and there was safety for Israel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that good?
Amen.
That's better than good right there. But it gets gooder. Ornan offered up the threshing floor. Later we find out at that very spot, David's son Solomon says, it's the best spot to put God's temple at. And he builds the temple of the Lord with all that gold and with all that timber and all them, all the majesty for God's temple. He builds it on top of Mount Moriah. I've looked and I've Googled, I've Wikipedia'd, I've went through my index, went through my Thompson chain, I got three Bibles. I'm going through them. I'm going through my phone. I'm looking for everything for Ornan's sons. Some great big thing that they did, like Obed-Edom's children did, but I couldn't find nothing. But I wonder if they walked by that temple and said, you know what? That was Daddy's ground. By all rights, if nothing would have happened, that would have been those four boys' ground. But they get to walk by and said, that was Daddy's ground, and he gave it up for the Lord. Ornan was willing to give up his children's, give up everything for his children. But God said, no, it's going to cost me something. That very same mountain we find in Genesis chapter number 22, we found where Abraham was going up to worship. That's what we alluded to in the first part. Abraham was going up to offer up his son Isaac for a sacrifice. And some of you might be thinking, surely God would not tell him to offer up his son. God told him to offer up his son for sacrifice. And Abraham still said, we're going up to the top of the mountains Moriah to worship. When God saw Abraham's faith and was willing to give everything up for the Lord, the Lord said, you ain't going to kill your son on Mount Moriah. He gave him a ram. The whole caught in the thicket. But on down in the annals of time, at a place called the Skull, Sister Tracy, a place that we call Calvary, but in the Hebrew tongue it's pronounced Golgotha, upon the mountains of Moriah, a holy, righteous father gave up his son so that all of us could be saved and redeemed. A father giving up the most prized thing that he had so he might save everybody else and have more sons and more daughters. You say, preacher, I just don't understand that. Join the crowd, I don't understand it neither. Preacher, I can't explain it. I can't explain it that good neither. But James, I believe it and I know it. And that a father who loved me so much was willing to give up his own. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The holy father, the heavenly father. Can I say something? Them fellas with the big top hats and big fancy robes, they call him the heavenly father. Them fellas ain't the heavenly father. The Bible says, call no man on earth your father. We have one father in glory, and the Lord Jehovah is his name. And he gave up the ultimate sacrifice. On Father's Day, can I say this? If you're a dad, you've made mistakes. Can I say something? I'm right there with you. I ain't no better than you are. But can I say something? There's a father who understands, and he gave up his own son.
Amen.
That in our mistakes, he said, I made a way for you to get forgiveness and to be cleaned up. That maybe you could get a fresh start today in being the dad that you ought to be. I've had to apologize to my kids. I've whooped my kids when they didn't need whoopings. And so, you know, my mom and dad would say, you know, there's many times I don't think I deserved any whooping that I got. You ought to catch that. I didn't think I deserved any whooping that I got. I got every whooping deserved that I got. I got them all deserving to me. And there were sometimes I thought I didn't get them. My mom would always say, it's because you've done something else. That means you got whooped for that. Just pay back. But can I say this? That Heavenly Father doesn't whoop you for no reason. He wants to love you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to be a part of your life and to help you. Solomon said, in all thy wisdom, get understanding. Will you understand this? That you can't make it on your own. You need to leave a good heritage for your family. That is, you tell your wife and your kids, follow me. Follow me. Follow you to Calvary. follow you to salvation,
yeah.
Follow you in service, and follow you to glory. Because odds are, now God can make a difference, but the odds that our carnal flesh always follows somebody else's carnal flesh. There's four children in my family. I'm the baby. Out of all four of them, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's saved. Goes to church and tries to live. It doesn't make me better than them. When my mama passes, they're going to pass out the inheritance, and they're supposed to be all divided up equally by four. I don't get no more special inheritance, Sister Tina, because I'm a pastor of a church. It doesn't work that way. But can I say this? I'd give up all my inheritance for my brothers and sisters to be saved.
Amen.
I'd give it all up. I'd give it all up right now if you would just know what it feels like in your heart to be born again and saved. Daddy, I'd love for you to have it in your heart right now to know what it's like. Though you have failed, the forgiveness that God will forgive you, you make a fresh start. Make a fresh start of being a dad. Whoever's got a song on their heart, ask them to come.